A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
This is full service, man.
It's always the best.
A Netflix documentary, a Glass Entertainment Group production, a film by Brian Storkel.
The ISO Society, you looked at as a criminal. What are your thoughts about that?
I don't mind being looked at as a criminal, really. It's tough. I mean, I just was doing crimes my whole life. Scamming, shit like that.
Scammer, huh?
Yeah, scammer. Just think things have changed, you know? It's not that easy to just work hard and buy a house. Nowadays, you got to figure out some sort of way to finesse the system. That's the modern-day American dream.
And how much did you make in total?
On paper, $32 million. But, like, in reality, we made, like, a few hundred million.
That's good.
Yeah, a few pennies.
Would you do it again?
I always go back to this point of, like, if I knew it 100% that I was going to make $30 million doing something illegal, would I do it or would I not?
A New York Times newspaper headline appears.
I lean on that I would take the risk.
It reads, two founders of $32 million Centra Virtual Currency Project are arrested. The title appears, Bitcoin. The New York Times Building, 2017.
I was at the New York Times covering the cryptocurrency universe. I was the only person at the paper who took it seriously.
Nathaniel Popper.
Most of the editors at the paper continued to view this as a joke. It was sort of my job to say, you know, there's something real going on here that is worth covering. The people who cared about Bitcoin really cared about Bitcoin.
I trust the Bitcoin. I believe in the Bitcoin. I worship the Bitcoin.
I actually started to get captivated by this thing. This was like digital gold.
The boy is officially a Bitcoin millionaire.
You guys have no idea how much this means to me.
It tapped into something in people.
$64,000 in a couple of days doing zero work.
And then in the middle of 2017, you had the rise of the initial coin offering. Every day there was a new project that overnight raised tens of millions of dollars. It became this like total phenomenon.
Every day I see three or four new offerings of Bitcoin number three. This will be better than Bitcoin. You'll get rich overnight.
Crypto mania rages on.
The future of the financial system.
He became a millionaire at 24.
ICOs are gonna change the world.
We will write history.
I mean, it was an economic frenzy that really had not been seen before cryptocurrencies.
There may not be anything there. Companies weren't really incented to actually do anything with the money besides just spending the money.
ICOs allowed anybody to start selling and marketing financial products without a bank account. There was just scams and frauds everywhere. Anybody could create an ICO, and anybody did do it.
Ray Trapani, Centra co-founder, sits and smokes a vape.
Centra was the archetype of what was wrong with cryptocurrency.
Crypto is just this new, unfound territory, completely unregulated by the SEC. And anytime you find a market like that, you just have to figure out how to exploit that market. We didn't know anything about this fucking business, but it didn't matter at all. It was too easy. We lied, we cheated, and made millions of dollars. And now I'm facing over 100 years.
A photograph shows Ray with two other young men in suits.
Ever since I was a kid, I've always wanted to be a criminal. It was never like I'm going to be a doctor or I'm going to be a scientist. If I could have put it in my yearbook, I would have put, I want to be a criminal.
That explains it.
A home video shows a young boy waving his middle finger.
My mom was a single mom of three boys. I wish my dad was around. He just wasn't. He was a complete fucking loser, and, you know, that's that.
A man's interviewed. Andrew, childhood friend.
Ray's always tried really hard. He was trying to be someone from the street, and he's not someone from the street. It's from Atlantic Beach, where beaches are.
Atlantic Beach, 2009.
At the time, that area was so flooded with oxy, we were already full-blown drug addicts, for sure. I loved the kid at the time. Ray was, like, one of the first best friends I had.
A photo shows them together.
We started, you know, filling scripts. We met some kid who stole the prescription pad. That prescription pad got stolen from him.
We write out 120 oxys, took that prescription, went to a Walgreens. They filled it. It's always a cool feeling when you hit that first mark. Fucking all amped up, you have a whole prescription pad, knowing this is like gonna be like an unlimited money glitch. My freezer was just thousands of bills.
How much money were you making?
You know, you're making like 5,000 a day, you know, on a good day.
So at this age, you're making that kind of money, like what are you spending your money on?
More drugs.
Just having fun.
Pill bottles are filled and labeled in a pharmacy.
And then
a man is handcuffed.
Ray got in trouble. Got pulled over, and they found a bottle that said, you know, a name on it that was probably not his name. They asked him where he got it, and he ratted on me and everyone else that filled out scripts.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you guys get in trouble?
Yeah. I mean, I did. I was going back and forth to court for like 2 years.
What did Ray get?
Nothing.
Why?
When you told the police, you're good.
Ray has a large tattoo.
So it surprises me that he has a tattoo of loyalty on his ribs, and he's never been loyal to not one of his friends. Disappointing that he turned out to be the way he is.
Ray bench presses weights.
Ray is a piece of shit, you know?
Later, Ray beams as he drives a white convertible.
Sex, drugs, money, anything that releases endorphins, I am instantly fucking, like, oh, I'll drop everything for this right now.
2016 Miami.
I have a good brain for, you know, making money and whatever it is. So when Burr reached out to me with a legitimate business idea, I was game.
I've known Ray since third grade. He's always been fascinated with money. He's obsessed with it. That's his one true love. That's Ray.
Burt was always in the car business, so he knew the market. And we came up with Miami Exotics, which is a car rental business. Luxury cars. Rolls Royce, Lamborghinis. This was my transition into having a legitimate company. I've done a lot of fraudulent scams and all this type of shit, but I don't really know business yet.
Bert drives a yellow Lamborghini.
But Bert knew the perfect guy, and, you know, I knew him also, so we brought in Sorby.
Sorby drives a white supercar. Sam Sorby, Ray's business partner.
And Sorby was a kid from high school that I fucking hated.
Sorby's yearbook photo appears.
He was always a smart kid, but he was never a kid that I trusted or liked.
Ray and Sorby were never friends. They always disliked each other.
He just had this weaselly way where he, like, thought he was super cool, like, kind of wanted to be ghetto, but sounded super nerdy. He was known for being a scammer or, like, ripping people off. I don't know. He just wasn't my type of people. He does add value. Me and Bert are very good at, like, relationships and being able to just be, like, the charismatic people that can make the money. And so, like, having Sorby there is very beneficial. You can just keep him in a room working all day. It's not like everybody's just good at the same shit.
So how much money did you need to raise to start this?
Roughly $500,000.
You know, Ray called me and he said, you know, we just need financing. So he went to my parents. He's been saying he's going to be rich since he could talk. Probably comes from my father. My dad was a very good man, and he always took care of my family.
Growing up, my grandfather was my only father figure that I had. We all called him Pop. My grandfather was, all in all, a great guy. Doing criminal shit doesn't mean you're a bad person. I always looked at my grandfather like he was the biggest mob boss there ever was. He was able to support my family financially. I was like, you know, I'm going to be a criminal and support my family financially also.
I don't know if he saw, like, you know, suitcases of cash like I did.
You saw suitcases of cash?
Yeah.
Hey, what are you trying to say? He's in the mafia? No, I'm more in the mafia than he was. Built it, something to do with the elevator business.
Pat,
Ray's grandmother.
Oh, we went down to Florida to visit him, me and Bill. Met his partners.
A photo shows Pat and Pop with Ray and Sorby.
He saw me happy, which was like the big thing for him. And they just believed in me and were like, here's an opportunity. Go make it whatever you think you're going to make it.
Bill would do anything for Ray. And so he was the father figure.
My grandfather signed, you know, $250,000 loan against his house, a home equity line of credit, to give me some sort of opportunity of having this business. We took that opportunity and tried to go fully legit.
Various supercars are washed and driven along palm tree lined roads.
You know, the business was generating probably about $60,000 a month profit. We were renting cars to Rick Ross, everybody under the sun. I would go home, fill up my closets, have my beautiful apartment with all my shoes and all my nice shit that I'm buying. It's the unlimited money glitch once again. I'm going
off. Home video shows garages filled with gleaming sports cars.
And I was proud of him, you know, that he was, you know, doing well. This is great, you know, we can breathe.
And I was just enjoying life, driving any car we wanted. You know, there was a good minute there. Everything was pretty fun and enjoyable. The issue was that the spending was out of hand. The company's generating a profit of $60,000. Between the three of us, somehow we were spending more than that every month. We ended up getting more loans for roughly $500,000. Just about everybody in my family, my aunts, my mom, her husband, my grandma, co-signed some sort of car loan or credit card loan.
I saw Sorby on Instagram. He posted a big vacation that he had in the Bahamas. And that's when I was like, what is this kid doing? Obviously, you know, something was not right.
Ray sits at a computer at night. Later, his car sits parked outside the neon-lit Colony Hotel.
Vacations, hotels.
Whether it be like Sorby going out to the club, or me just gambling, or whatever it may be, Bert buying a fucking dog.
Bert went and he bought like a $2,000 dog on the company card.
Money was just leaking out left and right in these weird areas, and then like sometimes just checks would be cashed.
Sorby robbed the company. That's what happened.
But the checks were written in Bert's name, so, you know.
Sorby was forging my name and signing it to himself and cashing them.
I don't fucking know who was writing those checks. I still don't know.
Bert and Sorby had no skin in the game as far as finances.
I'll give anything to my family, but not to you, you little pricks. You really?
And it was always like the excuse of, oh, you're spending crazy money also, but... You know, the thing is those debts were all my debts to deal with, my family's loans. So that's where, like, I just started to go fucking crazy.
They 100% took advantage of him.
Do you think he took advantage of you guys that Ray did?
Do I think that Ray took advantage? Yes, I do.
A photo shows Pop by a Bentley.
He really thought that it would develop into this great business.
I was in embarrassment of how much in debt I was that I was telling him Miami Exotics is doing great. But the money is just gone. He was the one that always extended his arm for me, and I just didn't want to disappoint my grandfather.
So we had about $100,000 left, and I was like, fuck it, I'm going to go take it to the casino.
I'm going to take all this money and just take one last chance. I played baccarat all night. I ended up losing everything I had. Fuck it, you know, I'm going to kill myself.
Old home video footage shows young Ray.
I just knew he'd be so disappointed.
Raymond?
When you're depressed, you lose sight of everything. It's a rabbit hole of shit. I remember just opening that bottle and just chugging them. I took about 50, which just about anybody would die from. That's 100 milligrams of Xanax.
He called me after he woke up. I mean, it's heartbreaking, you know, to see a kid like that. You know, it's...
Ray's mom, Carrie, holds a trembling hand to her mouth.
You know, I feel sorry for him because I felt, you know, like, you know, he's... Even though he could be a little shit, you know, he always had, like, a vulnerability about him, even no matter what he was doing, you know?
She wipes away a tear.
No, he just, you know, he cried. We both cried and, you know... I just basically said, you can figure it out. We'll get this figured out. You know, you're really smart.
I'm sitting in Miami Exotic's office.
Ray was super upset. And then Sorby came up, started talking to Ray.
Yeah, so at that point, I just hated Sorby completely because I just felt like so betrayed.
And then he starts talking about cryptocurrency. I'm like, fuck is this kid even talking about? What the fuck is that? You can just see like the light in his eyes that this was something.
And they came to the conclusion that it was best to kick me out of the company and that he would make more money with Sorby than with me.
That's what parlayed right into Centra.
The Miami Exotics logo on a monitor is replaced by an image of a gold letter C in a circle.
Sorby's actually like the idea guy. You know, he's super good at just coming up with ideas. Or just sitting behind a computer and you know, knowing where to steal ideas from.
One of the clear problems with cryptocurrencies at that time was that it was hard to use them. People have gotten rich with Bitcoin, and you could not spend your cryptocurrency.
Cryptocurrency started getting really popular, and I jumped on just like everyone else about 3 years ago and was trading Bitcoin and Ethereum, etc. And then one day I was just sitting home and I was like, you know what? What if I could just go spend my Bitcoins and the profits I've made and just go buy stuff with it without having to worry about withdrawing, depositing, etc. And that's where kind of the idea manifested for CentraCard.
A bank card is placed on a table.
Our pitch to the world was that we were going to create a debit card where you'd be able to spend your cryptocurrency in real time, anytime, anywhere. We're going to create a marketplace for cryptocurrency. We're going to have our own exchange, our own wallet. Basically, everything you need in cryptocurrency, we were going to put it in one central place.
During the ICO boom, you had people doing these serious projects, kids, you know, with PhDs from Stanford, from MIT, at the same time as you had these kids who were agents at rental car companies in Miami who were raising the exact same amount of money as the PhDs from MIT without any experience in this universe that they were building in.
And it was just too easy to do. We created the basis of the whole company. First thing, we have to create a LinkedIn and put our universities.
A profile is created listing Harvard University advisor, co-founder of CentraTech, and showing an image of Ray in a suit.
We all went to Harvard. Trying to make ourselves look as smart as possible. Creating the business plan that you present to the world was the next thing. There's a company called 10X in Singapore that created a debit card, and they just raised roughly like $20 million. We're like, let's just take that idea and make it our own. We hired a guy on Upwork, and he just took their website and changed the word 10X to Centra just about on every page.
A find and replace tool on a writing program changes the names on the documents. Bright green writing appears on the screen. It reads, North Macedonia. A man climbs a stairwell, then lights a rolled-up cigarette in a dark room. Two men sit in gamer chairs, surrounded by computer monitors.
I'm a developer and worked as a freelancer to develop CentraTech.
Martin and Philip, Centra developers.
I was hired to work as a developer for Centra project. I was like 5 when I started working with computers. Some people might think I'm a genius. Yeah. I think every problem can be solved if you put enough effort. There is literally nothing that can be solved.
Well, we were freelancing at that time, working on different projects.
An email arrives.
And one day we got a request for a number, and we meet this guy on phone. Its name was Sam.
It's very simple. It's a lightning speed, real-time
crypto asset to fiat conversion system that's designed to work with an endless amount of assets of our choice. Currently, we support 8. We're going to go to 12.
And we were pretty excited for the project because that kind of technology was not present on the market. So it was a very good idea to be developed.
CentraChain is going to be our own blockchain.
Are you guys personally interested in crypto?
Well, it's a trend.
Martin smiles as he gently swivels in his chair.
Usually the people with ideas have very little knowledge in technology or how the things are done. So we put it together.
Sorby speaks on a video call.
People need to understand that our product is going to be the best, hands down.
Green writing appears. Denver. A man works at a laptop looking at currency charts while a dog lies nearby.
I was invested in Ethereum, Bitcoin, and I made good choices. Pretty smart investments.
What excited you initially about it? Was this just like an investment thing or was it more than that?
Can I be like really honest? I wanted to be wealthy, right? Yeah.
Jacob Rensel, Centra investor.
I wanted to make money quickly, travel the world, be financially free. The issue at that time is how do you spend cryptocurrency? And I came across CentraTech. It was extremely exciting at the time. I was all about CentraTech. I was like, look at this, this makes sense. I was young. And as a military member, I did not get paid that much money. I got hooked because of the opportunity to make money. But then also having a utility device that would allow me to spend my newly acquired financial freedom.
He drinks from a mug as he researches Centra on his computer.
All of the technology sounded good. They had a real team that could build that tech.
He looks up the pages of Sorby and Ray.
They had backing from Visa and Bancorp. And there was the CEO.
A photo of a smiling middle-aged man appears alongside Ray and Sorby.
Michael Edwards was the one that stuck out big time for everyone.
There's no technology company or credit card company that's two people. Michael Edwards was a seed investor in CentraTech. You know, he believed in our concept. You know, he had business experience in this field. He didn't really want to be a part of operations. He just believed in the concept and wanted us to get going. We made him the CEO because we didn't want anybody to see that young kids were the owners of this company. We wanted somebody that would represent a strong older figure, to have somebody that's like respectable and presentable to the public. We had everything. How would you not be interested in this company? Once we created the website and launched the Slack channel, there was just an influx of people interested so fast.
Slack was the direct communication portal from the founders to investors. I was interested in the metrics that they were pushing. They're like, you're getting in early, you're going to be one of the first investors in, and that means that you have the maximum amount of benefit that you can generate from this. And that's the way that I looked at it at the time.
You guys who can get into the ICO may be very worthwhile to do.
I'm excited for Accenture. I'm going to be buying.
And they have a really great team behind them.
Real professional. Seems like they have their stuff together.
A countdown shows 30 days, 10 hours, and 15 minutes.
What did he tell you he was doing? What did you ask about his business?
You know, he would just basically would tell me it's an electronic money and it's the currency of, you know, the next generation.
Something about bitcoins or something? I don't even know what it is.
The countdown continues.
You can see here they have their token sale starting tonight at midnight. All right, so that's coming up soon. That's why I want to get this video out to you stat.
The words appear in front of the Centra logo. July 30th, 2017. The token sale button is clicked.
Our ICO had been live for a few weeks. It's not really like this big success at all at first. It sucks. About a month goes by. We made 10, 20, 50,000. We're rolling. 60, 70, 80,000. And then one night, tons of money just starts flooding in. 100,000, another 100,000, 500,000. Within another hour, we had $2 million. And we're like, what the fuck? Is this even real? What is going on here?
It was pretty exciting to watch it go up. Just watching something go up and become extremely valuable, it's like a drug, like adrenaline hitting you. You're so excited that your investment is making a ton of money. It brings up all these different opportunities in your mind. What can I do with my life now?
Clearly, there was a reason why all this big money was coming in.
Messages appear on a chat feed.
People in our chat room started saying, Cliff High wrote this article, you guys see that? And me and Sorby like jumped in there, we're like, of course we know Cliff High, like we love Cliff High, like yeah, he's the man. We had no fucking idea who he was.
The whole banking system is failing. But in the meantime, we're all gonna be dealing with real money in the form of gold, silver, and cryptos. And the cryptos are gonna be the fluid part of it.
And he was like a crypto guru type of guy. He's just some like old nerd. He was saying this is going to be a big thing. He put out this press release telling all his big investors to put out their money for Centrum. We went from having like 200 people in our Slack channel to having like 2,000 people within like, you know, a couple hours. Time to go to the stratosphere. This company's taken off.
A computer printer starts printing money.
ICOs, it's like you're printing money. That's what you're doing. You're printing money. You're allowed to print money. That moment was probably the best moment of Centra, like as far as feelings. It's the craziest shit to think we were able to raise that much money with having absolutely nothing but a website.
I figured it wasn't like above board, right? Like I kind of put two and two together on that. But I also like, you gotta realize it was very par for the course. I knew Ray was gonna be a millionaire. Like, he's been saying it forever. Like, if he didn't, I'd be shocked, to be honest.
Johnny, Ray's best friend.
Even as a kid, he was just always interested in making money and committing crimes seemed to be like his main motivating force. He has such a fucked up moral compass. He's always like figuring out these weird systems and how to manipulate them. Whether that be exploiting people or scamming, that's who he is. They have nothing. The investors think they have all this shit built. So the whole thing is to now make themselves as legitimate as possible to secure this investment. It is a good idea, right?
Ray, wearing glasses and a smart suit, sits at a table.
My name is Raymond Trapani, Chief Operating Officer of Centratech. After the Cliff High interview, we had a few million dollars and we're like, you know, we have to get an office. The pressure was on. We needed something to present to the world. Up until that point, we were working in a small bedroom. We get a beautiful office and it was perfect.
Give you guys a quick tour. Hopefully I'm still live right now.
Glass windows, really sleek. It just looked like a tech-based company would live there, right? We hired roughly 50 people.
So this is our offices, this is our customer support area. Say hi, girls.
You have, you know, hot girls who can do, like, assistant work. Then you can have customer service, which also could be half hot girls.
That's our COO, Raymond Trapani.
You're hiring real developers to build real tech.
This is what we call the brain room right here, guys. As many people know, we work with many talented individuals.
You know, I don't think any of us really knew what the process was. We're just shooting at the hip from day one. The employees definitely thought the company was fully legit.
All right. We got the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Farkas right here. Say hi.
What's up, everybody? This is Robert Farkas. I just wanted to give our community an update about what we've been working so diligently towards.
When Sam originally told me about Centratech, he said, look, I have this new technology. It's going to be the future of finance. And it was probably the most exciting thing I've ever experienced in my life. Everyone wanted to be a part of it. Even if you didn't know much about crypto, you were like, wow, that's really cool. You created a debit card that connects magic internet money to the real world.
Robert Farkas, CFO.
You know, he needed help. He needed employees. He was doing too much on his own. He was juggling a million things. And that's when mistakes happen. I said, I'm not a software engineer, but I can add value to the company in some way, shape, or form.
Robert Farkas was Sorby's girlfriend's brother. We told him to quit his job and come work for us.
Qualified to be a CFO.
Definitely not qualified to be a CFO. He was the stripper in his past life. You know, once we raised enough money and we had a lot of people in the chat rooms,
we needed someone that would just sit on there all day and just talk to these fucking thousands of people.
So many chats funneled into our company. We had to juggle all these different forums. I was doing conferences, setting up booths, getting the community involved. Felt like we were changing the world. Sam had been coding since he was 13 years old. He was a go-getter, a hustler, a smart kid. I think he's a genius. Sam got things set up in light speed.
A speed that has never been seen before. So this is a lot of project work that we're doing with a lot of engineers.
Let's start this journey.
We have a 50,000 card order that's being prepared for manufacturing. So mass production is right around the corner, guys. December is our timeline on getting these cards to you guys.
We promised people that they would be getting the cards out before Christmas. We figured if we could just provide that, none of the other stuff matters.
We're solving problems in that project pretty fast.
The development was speeding up.
This shady company just graduated to like the next level, right? For Sorby, the whole thing is to now make themselves as legitimate as possible, right?
I'm a researcher. As well as my teams are researchers.
Sorby did a lot of research. He fucking did it. He wants to figure it out, like actually do it.
We literally stayed up all night, every night. We were just running on adrenaline and monsters.
Yeah, we were working more than full time.
I don't remember Ray contributing much of anything.
Ray drinks by a pool.
Had like this little mafioso vibe, loved gambling, and loved money. And the whole time he was medicated.
Farkas films himself with Ray in the background smoking.
My first thing, I went and bought all beautiful suits. I bought Armani suits. I get them all tailored perfect.
How many suits did you got?
I mean, I was in the mall every single day, going to Saks every single day.
Really?
My suit guy just like...
He must have loved you.
We developed, yeah. Yeah. We were making about $500,000 a day. Money just was flying in. I went from having like a few hundred thousand in the bank to just having millions in your own personal bank account. At 24 in Miami.
Yeah.
Got a new car. Just trying to put as much money to the side as we possibly could. You can always just cash out more.
Right.
You know, essentially print more money.
It was just coming in so easy that it really didn't matter.
I remember one time during the ICO, there was this one guy who was trying to invest, and then he gave me his password to his whole crypto account. He meant to send me his passcode to send the Centra coins to, and he gave me his password. And I was in this moment, I was like, holy shit, this guy just gave me his password. And I logged in, couldn't help myself. And I already had made millions of dollars. This is like 100,000 sitting in his account. What do I do here? And I just transferred it all to my account. This guy trusted me, and I felt like I genuinely robbed this guy, you know? That was a fucked up moment for sure.
Ray always had a lot of cash on him. Like, he literally had it in his hoodie, and he's dropping it, and he's, like, wasted. And everyone's like, what's up with this guy? Ray was in his own world. He just wanted to stuff his pockets.
Someone traveling in a stretch limo films himself unzipping a bag filled with bundles of banknotes. Ray runs his hand through his hair as he tries on a suit.
It wasn't like you had to do much work to get these people to be interested. You know it's going to be easy to pump this company up. You know,
it's really all marketing.
Sounds good, brother. Thank you. All right, bye.
Sorby beams.
Just spoke to fucking motherfucking Floyd Mayweather.
Yes!
And next up, we have some pretty crazy news coming up from the Floyd Mayweather camp.
How can we promote this company now that we have this amount of money to get it to the next level? Let's get an endorsement from a major celebrity.
This was the peak of Mayweather's career, where he just went 50-0. And Sam was like, I can get him. And we were like, get the fuck out of here.
We know how to network, guys. We know how to be able to put the connectivities of brands to us.
Oh, what's up, Chan? How's everything, boss?
He's down, and he obviously wants a lot of money, and we're like trying to secure the deal. We ended up somehow pitching Floyd Mayweather to take $200,000 in cash and take $800,000 in Centra coins. You know, he's not the brightest guy, so he accepts it.
A TV monitor rises out of a plinth displaying the Centra logo.
What's up? It's the one and only your man Floyd Money Mayweather. Get my card out, my Centra card, Bitcoin, the new way things are done. Floyd Money Mayweather. As y'all can see, the number changed from before.
He does a commercial, and the commercial goes crazy for us.
It was an amazing thing. I mean, any good publicity that's going to pump your coin is going to make you more wealthy.
This is a huge moment for Centra, so let's see how they capitalize off of that.
So I'm in the lab. My man put me up on the Centra vibe.
Then we secured the second endorsement deal with DJ Khaled.
The Centra vibe is that big coin. You know what I'm saying?
A statue of a lion wearing a crown is placed by a computer.
You know, I start like that. It's that Billy talk.
Instantly, millions of dollars are coming in.
We're making millions of dollars every day.
This is such a revolutionary technology. You can't really stop it.
Nathaniel Popper.
As I told y'all, got my Centra card, Bitcoin. I'm doing big things.
When I first started covering this, my starting point was I'm going to look at these coins that are getting endorsements from celebrities. It just didn't make sense. You had the people in the world who have to know the least about technology, pretending as though they are some sort of experts on which of these projects are the right ones for you to put your millions of dollars into. And it was clear they were all getting paid to do this. They have to disclose that they're getting paid if they're going to promote something on social media. Somebody needs to dig into this and figure out what the hell is going on here. This one project stood out.
Centra vibe is that Bitcoin. You saying?
Things looked funny. You just went to their website. You scrolled down and looked at the pictures they had of their staff and founders. The pictures didn't even look like real people. And then they had the LinkedIn profile for each of these employees. The ones where the LinkedIn accounts did work, the employees all had degrees from Harvard, and they were executives at Wells Fargo. I mean, nobody at Wells Fargo was working in the cryptocurrency universe. It just, none of it seemed plausible. I found these Instagram accounts that made it clear that their LinkedIns were totally untrue and that in fact they worked at some sort of car dealership. So I started digging further.
One day I got a call from an author for the New York Times. Hey, we're doing a story on celebrities involved in crypto. So I put Ray on the phone.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, that's Ray.
That's speaking. How's everybody?
Hey, do you have a second to talk?
What company from?
The New York Times.
What's your name, sir?
Nathaniel Popper.
You're what, an author for the New York Times?
Yeah, I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I've been reporting on Bitcoin, blockchain stuff for several years.
So you know your stuff. Centra, in my opinion, is the future of cryptocurrency and the financial industry at the same time.
Okay. Good. Well,
it's going to be able to make cards that they're able to spend their cryptocurrency on in real time, just like an iPhone coming to the world.
Yeah, it felt great. New York Times, we're all from New York. You know, how can you beat that?
Well, it was amazing. A great opportunity to get our name out to the United States market.
They want to send a photographer over, so I said, no problem, send them over. Sobri will come to the office, and we'll all take these pictures.
After my first call, I told the photographer to rush down there to to get the photos before they sort of second-guessed all this. And their offices actually existed. It really seemed like this had started as a scam. And then they suddenly started to think, you know what, maybe we'll just do this. Maybe we'll just like make a credit card.
Anybody can come here to our offices. Doors are open. You can meet the staff. They're intelligent people.
Let's hire some programmers and put something on the blockchain and we'll create the next bank, even though no part of the building blocks that they were working from were real.
We all got like our best suits on.
Sorby, Ray, and Farkas pose for the photographer in their office. She shoots them sitting around a table and standing facing the camera. Later, Ray drives his white Aston Martin with the top down, and Kerry speaks, sitting on a couch.
Yeah, it was exciting, because I saw, you know, the spiral down after Miami Exotics, and now he's feeling good. He was making money. He was successful.
Ray came to the door. He had a Harvard shirt on. I said, where'd you get that? He said, oh, online. And he started laughing. He said, I went to Harvard. I started this big company.
It was just kind of, okay, let's hope that everything's going to be okay.
Nathaniel records a phone call.
Ray, I've been coming across other questions that have come up around Centra. The first thing is Visa has said nobody has applied to issue a Centra card.
I mean, I know details about that. I can't give you direct answers on that.
These guys say that they're issuing a card with Visa. They have pictures up on their website that have cards that have the Visa logo on it. One of the first things I did was call Visa. They said, we have no idea who these guys are, and there is no record of an application. They're going to have to take that off of their website.
I can't.
Okay, I mean, Visa's just saying this company, Centra, is not allowed to issue a card with Visa on it.
Until we do the mass orders, they're never going to speak on it.
Anytime somebody tells you, you know, I don't really feel comfortable answering that question, or these are questions that are very...
very, very tough for me to answer to you, you know what I mean? Like,
you know that there's something going on here. I was looking at this and just trying to come up with an explanation that could sort of plausibly explain how they had raised that kind of money.
And the channel is Cliff Underbar High.
When it was so clearly fraudulent and a lie.
You know, and then once we went public, what happened? I mean, overnight, it blew up. Bang. One of the biggest guys in crypto wrote, Centra Tech is the best company in the world to invest in. It got us to where we are now, which is a big chunk of change.
Okay.
A lot of corporations are going to die. Lots and lots of them. Along with some of the cryptos, right?
Cliff High understood this project and, you know, believed in the project. And then realized that it was a scam.
The printer, printing money, jams. Farkas.
The shit hit the fan with Cliff.
The whole article was a fuck up. I probably never even read the fucking full article.
Cliff High used these things called web bots, which make AI-generated summaries of news articles. This web bot fucked up and put Centra's name in this article about this bank called Centra. Cliff High had thought this bank was part of them, which would have been huge news. Imagine if Bank of America or something partnered with, like, Ethereum. Cliff High reaches out and was like, hey, I fucked up big time.
Cliff reaches out to us and he asks if we can go live with him in front of an audience. And we agree. We agreed to. We're like, fuck it. Like, how bad can it go? Sorby's very good at talking. You know, we've had people ask us questions so many times and it always goes so well. And then the first thing Sorby says in that call is,
we are 100% not a scam.
Starting off by saying this is not a scam is the most bizarre thing in the world. No one ever says that unless it's actually a scam.
not jeopardize.
That's fine, but your statements don't mean anything. You stating you're not a scam in no way proves you're not a scam.
I'm not here to scam anybody. I wouldn't have raised $4.5 million, came on here to scam anybody.
You're listed as the chief technical officer on LinkedIn, and for some reason you're still using an email account from a business that is a car dealership. I don't think you have your technical shit together here. What have you got in the way of equipment? What's your server farm like?
I don't know the details of it. I have the tech director that did all that for me, to be honest. I'm a startup. I haven't been in business for 20 years. I've been in business for less than a year and a half.
He asked about the bank contracts.
My question comes to this.
Absolutely, I'm getting right to it. Bancorp Bank, there are managers, and we go directly through their licensing agreement.
So that locks you out of like 34 states instantly because of the costs involved.
It's 36 states, so it's about 28 states, because there's 51, 52 states, I think, right?
All right, guy.
I'm not good with words, okay? Let's just make it blunt and honest. I just know what we're doing.
You're not a software engineer. You're not a coder. You're not a
I told you, I'm the guy who leads them to be able to design my vision.
So Mike doesn't do shit then. Why is he the CEO?
To be honest, he's the money dude.
And what's his role
Mike,
in this?
Mike was honestly an investor who saw my vision and said, you know what? I'm going to do this for you. He gave me the opportunity to get where I am today. We are not the brightest, smartest people. Well, we're not going to sit here and say that we
Who's
are.
Questioning
I'm telling
why
you
bring
that
up?
I went and did my due diligence.
I didn't want to believe anybody in this universe until they proved things to me. So I immediately started asking about their alleged CEO, Michael Edwards.
Michael Edwards, is he, is he somebody I can speak to just so I can understand sort of his role and what his view of this is?
He stopped by the office, you know, once in a while, checked up on things in regards to speaking to him. What do you want to speak to him about?
I guess I'm just wondering if there's a person there that I could talk to.
Yeah, I can probably put that together. Only in regards to, you know, being that it's a New York Times article.
I mean, you had him as your CEO. Is he still your CEO?
He's more of our original money guy before we got everything in place.
There was so much heat on us that we knew we were just trying to remove everything that was fake, every misrepresentation all at once.
The Visa logo is removed, and messages from Sorby read, cut any foo-foo. Anything that doesn't exist, we need to remove.
We gotta clear all the foo-foo.
The word foo-foo appears.
Fugazi, fake stuff. Bancorp was the bank that we had listed on our website.
They faked that too, so I would just get out while I still could.
For the prototype card, Sam used Bancorp prepaid cards. So he was like, fuck it, let's just say Bancorp, because technically it was Bancorp. And one day we got a cease and desist from the Bancorp Bank.
Best lawyer for startups is typed into Google.
It was pretty nerve-wracking. Sam found a law firm called Pope & Dunn. They were a super reputable firm out of New York on Water Street. Eric Pope was this ex-SEC attorney, a smart, witty guy on the phone. He said, listen, I'm gonna handle all your legal stuff. You know, he consoled us about any hiccups that we had early on in the company.
We're definitely on top of it. We have the best legal team on top of it.
We sent the cease and desist to Eric Pope. Eric, what do we do? He said, just take it off your website. Don't worry about it. Just abide by the cease and desist and keep moving.
I started noticing that things were changing on their website. Bancorp disappeared off their white paper. Why is that gone? What's going on here? Where's the technology that you're promising?
Investor Jacob Rensel watches a video clip in his dimly lit living room.
We have reasons why we don't disclose certain things. We have technology to protect. Our technology is our backbone. With our technology, we don't have a product. Our goal is not to not be transparent, because we understand how cryptocurrency can take non-transparency and run with it as a scam. So we get that.
Everything that we would go back to, like when we would get caught into something, was like, oh yeah, it's great we have Michael Edwards to rely on for all this advice, and he's really bringing our vision to life here.
So I'm gonna go back to reading some of the questions to see what people have been asking. So I'm just gonna scroll up top.
The first question reads, where is Michael Edwards?
Of course people want to meet Michael Edwards.
Sorby swallows as more messages appear. Mike's the one with the experience. Present Michael Edwards to the public now.
We people will come into our chats talking shit. Just talk and talk and talk. When are you going to have Michael Edwards come on and talk to everybody?
Did he work here? Did he go to this college? Is there somebody named Michael Edwards who lives in Miami, who is this age, who has this picture?
Where is the alleged co-founder and CEO?
Michael Edwards.
That's when we really knew that we had to get rid of Michael Edwards as soon as possible.
Messages from Sorby Reed, I've been getting called out. People want to see who's behind the project. I just rather cover all tracks now. A question appears. What you thinking? Sorby replies, gonna kill the CEO. Farkas shakes his head as the screen turns red.
Stupid mistake.
The staff picture of Michael Edwards is removed from the wall.
Put out a press release. Michael Edwards, our CEO, died in a car accident. It was crazy, terrible car accident. God bless the dead, and, you know, that was that.
Ray smirks. A jacket rests on an empty chair behind a simple desk in an office, which overlooks skyscrapers. Michael Edwards approaches it, sits, and leans forward, resting on his elbows.
Hello. I'm Michael Edwards, founder and CEO of Centratech.
Is that who you really are?
No, that's not who I really am. I'm Dr. Andrew Haleko. I'm a professor at the University of Manitoba. On August 25th, Michael Edwards suddenly left this world. He leaves behind his French bulldog, Stanley, and an accomplished career as an investor and VP for Wells Fargo and Chase. He graduated with an MBA from Harvard University, which prepared him for his most recent venture as co-founder and chief executive officer of Centratech in Miami Beach, Florida. That's pretty creepy. Wow. Well, at least I had an MBA and I was well-trained at Harvard. I hadn't realized that they had actually gone to that extent.
Michael Edwards was never even a real person. Not at all. We completely created him from scratch. The photos for Michael Edwards were just taken off Google. We just looked up old white guy. Looked at all the images and found an old white guy. And just took that image and, you know, that was Michael Edwards.
Ray grins and runs his hand through his hair.
It's infuriating that you are being manipulated and used to someone else's benefit.
After Michael Edwards was killed off, what we were trying to do was find a new CEO. And that's where we asked my grandfather if he wanted to be the CEO of the company. And at the time, he had cancer, so, like, he really didn't care. He was like, fuck it, yeah, you know, just put me up there. And we took his picture, and we had a new CEO.
The website now shows William Hagner as the CEO of Centratech, and his picture is added to the wall. Nathaniel records a phone call.
So, look, since we last spoke, the original CEO, Michael Edwards, his picture was the picture of this guy from Canada who wasn't named Michael Edwards. I saw that you deleted the original LinkedIn profile that he had up.
See, that's the thing. He wanted to be a ghost investor.
But that LinkedIn profile disappeared then, right?
When was that? I'm not even sure about that.
Well, there was a link.
I just have one question. Where are you getting at with the end point of this?
After Michael Edwards passed, I needed to know who William Hagner was. I researched the founders, whatever I could find.
Jacob types on his laptop.
I started looking into Ray Mitrapani and his entire background on his Facebook page. Wow, what is this? William Hagner is actually Raymond's grandfather. It was very suspicious.
He makes notes on stickets.
I was sounding the alarm in this Slack channel.
Farkas.
We were getting some backlash. There was always like a troll that we had to shut up.
People say that they don't have a CEO. There's a few other things that people think there's a fraud involved here.
There was a post on a YouTube channel breaking down everything on the website that didn't make sense.
I'm not too concerned about YouTube and Reddit. We're not going to engage with this.
When that came out, Centratech offered money to take this down, And then he took that and he posted it onto Slack. He's like, hey, look, I just got offered by them money to take this down.
Sped up footage shows Jacob working.
Every day, there was somebody spreading FUD in all our chats. Fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And a lot of these trolls, we actually turned them into Central believers.
Was that by paying them? Did you pay them to remove unfavorable posts?
I don't know about that.
We're just paying people off all day. That's all we did.
I know this is all bullshit, but here's, you know, 20 grand. Can you fucking take this shit down?
Where did your partnerships go? Where is the actual proof that this works? And as I continued to push that, people were getting upset.
I feel bad for you guys. You guys have nothing better to do with your lives than try to troll a company.
They were basically saying, oh, I'm spreading FUD.
You know, anytime that's in a chat room, you're just trying to get that out of the chat room as fast as possible. You know, some people you can just tell right off the bat they're not going to be bought.
And they decided it would just be worth it to ban me so I could no longer spread FUD. I was extremely angry. These people are awful.
In slow motion, Jacob carries a board as he strides over bullet casings on a dirt track. He locks the board in position, loads rounds into a pistol, and puts on ear defenders.
I was a dirtbag when I was younger. More like a Raymond Trapani, if you will. A lot changed when I went on my first deployment and experienced what I did.
He shoots.
I was in Afghanistan. Loss takes you aback, and you really have to question, what are you here for? It just changed everything pretty quickly. We all have to grow at some point to have something to live for other than money. It can buy you a lot of things, but at the end of the day, the person that you were in life will outlive the money that you have.
After I got banned, I became obsessed with Centra and absolutely wanted to take them down. Yeah, it was a personal vendetta at that point.
He walks away from the target, which has the Centra logo on it.
So the two main guys who recently completed the Centra ICO, they're basically just scam artists. So be careful.
You know, day to day, like, there would be people making YouTube videos about how Centra is doing this wrong and these contracts aren't real. You know, at that moment, I remember just thinking in my head, like, this is the end of it. And out of nowhere,
an email arrives from Bitset.
Fucking South Korea.
The email reads, "We are Bitset Corporation of Seoul. We have a business proposition for you."
Bitset. South Korean company. There wasn't a lot of information about them, but we knew they had a lot of money, they loved CentraTech, and they wanted to help us grow in the Asian market.
They'll invest $5 million up front, and then you guys will come to Korea and show us proof of concept, and then we'll invest the rest. So they invested $5 million, and from there, we're like, all right, we're going to fly down to Korea and get this shit going, you know? So
we were like, we have to have an app now.
A promo video plays.
Yeah. We had already created a fake app for other presentations so that we could make a video and show that, you know, on the app, oh, look, the correct amount of Bitcoin is being removed after I swipe my card. But we needed a better fake app.
Martin and Philip.
We were given task, can you create us interface when we press a button that it proves the concept that works. We were building the application with the deadline. At one moment they told us that they will go to Korea to test the application. They were worried about, will this work? To prove the concept that works, get people in-house to enter data manually.
I'm not sure, can you count it as fake? It was working, not scalable. It's just a prototype.
We put our whole technology team, we took their focus off the real app and made them focus on building a fake app that would work in real time when Sorby was going to Korea.
Why not just have them keep focusing on the real app?
I was just like sitting there like, oh shit, Korea.
Glowing green words appear. South Korea.
Who's not going to South Korea? I don't really like going into foreign territories when, you know, you're not doing something that's legitimate. Sounds risky. We send Sorby.
He was like, you and Ray hold down the office, I'm out of here. He just jumped on a flight and went there by himself.
They don't have dick. So they make an app that charges your debit card and then makes it seem like it's spending your crypto directly.
You take that debit card, we sent it to a guy in California, made it into a metal-centric card, right? So now we have this metal-centric card that when we swipe it, it just takes money from our bank account. We would just press a button so that it presents as it's a real app and it's working correctly. So on our end, we just had to do all those transactions behind the scenes.
So we're going to transfer that value that you guys, you know...
So now he's down in Korea. Now he has to do a filmed presentation in front of their team.
Sorby bows.
I believe that a partnership with Centra Tech and Bitset will be very powerful in the Asian market, as well as promotion of cryptocurrencies worldwide.
우리가 센트라를 인터넷에 검색해 보면은 스캠이라는 얘기가 많습니다. 도대체 왜 이런 스캠이라는 얘기가 있는가? 이거에 대한 센트럴폰에 대한 쌤의 생각은 어떤 것인지 답변 부탁드립니다.
A lot of the accusations came from competitors that felt that our product was a threat. The Centra card is the world's best cryptocurrency debit card. These accusations are false.
It was pretty stressful.
He was all excited. He got his game face on, like hyping him up through text messages, like, you got this, you're gonna kill it.
This was his audition to like lock in this company and seal the deal.
He inserts the card into a card machine.
When he's doing the presentation with Bisset,
after inserting the card, he holds up his phone, displaying the app.
We press the button.
They tap the submit button repeatedly.
And it didn't correct on the app. It didn't work at all. Live performance in a foreign country.
I was sweating.
And then we lost contact.
We have no idea what's going on.
What the fuck is going on? 3 hours pass, and we're like in shock. We're like, fuck.
We're over here hoping he makes it out alive.
Is he gonna be killed? We thought he was dead.
Blurry images show men walking through Seoul at night, and three dots appear on a phone showing an incoming message.
Finally, he texts us. Yo, that shit didn't work. But they're still gonna invest.
A new printer replaces the old one, and phone footage shows drinks being poured in a Korean restaurant.
That same day, they invested another $15 million in our company. Somehow, he just talked them into being complicit in this whole operation.
Farkas looks up and exhales.
He tells us that, you know, they're actually editing the video to make it look like it worked.
I ain't got no time to hang like I need cheese.
If they're gonna be down and complicit in this whole thing, fuck it, like, let them be. Our new partners, Bisset.
I'm just trying to get my point across. I'm going off.
A cork is popped from a bottle as staff party in the dimly lit Centra Tech offices.
3, 2, 1, I'm going off.
A stream of banknotes shoots out of the new printer, fluttering down around the men dancing and drinking.
In a sense, Centra was the story of crypto itself, which is an endeavor that has something real underneath it, but keeps failing and keeps running into problems, and yet people keep coming back to it. There's something so alluring there that people can't give up on the promise. And part of that promise is just the simple one that you can get rich quickly.
We had that ICO at such a perfect time. Every day Ethereum was going up in price, and every day they're investing that Ethereum into Century.
Oh,
I could not have seen a better life for me.
Ray speeds along the road in his sports car.
I never wanted that to stop.
A woman leans on a balcony as Ray pours sparkling wine into two glasses before joining her. Late at night, Nathaniel works at his laptop. He puts a bag of popcorn into the microwave and turns it on.
The strangest thing to me is that neither of you have any experience in blockchain. How did you decide to go into this business?
Me and Sam have been, you know, kind of little nerds since we were young. You know, we always loved computers and whatnot.
I kept thinking that once I started asking harder questions, they were going to shut down and realize that this was not going to be good for them. And again, I think they actually started to believe their own excuses.
He munches on the popcorn while working on a document, typing, "That's what matters to investors." He closes the laptop and turns off the light. The Sunday Business newspaper section lands on a doorstep. The headline reads, "How Floyd Mayweather helped two young guys from Miami get rich."
I was actually at my mother's house, and we all kind of read at the same time, and we all said, "This is not good."
I'm reading it, and I was just, like, in disbelief. At the time, I hoped no one's gonna actually read the article.
Every member of staff in the Centra Tech office reads a copy of the newspaper. Jacob shakes his head as he reads an article online, then pulls up a picture of Sorby, Ray, and Farkas.
I wrote an email to my lawyer. I was like, "Did you see this?" Right afterwards, I sold everything because I knew that there was no more. It took a considerable loss.
Fuck.
The article appears by Nathaniel Popper.
A basic background check would have turned out the numerous run-ins with the law the company president has had. The boxer's endorsement of Centra, along with similar endorsement from popular rapper DJ Khaled, lent a patina of credibility to a project that ended up with more than a few problems, including a chief executive who does not appear to have been a real person and a shaky, fast-shifting business plan.
I remember him calling me, and he was livid, and he was like, "I'm gonna sue him." I'm like, "You're gonna sue the New York Times?" And I was like, "Good luck, man. I don't think it's gonna work out the way you think it is."
The author was gonna write a slander piece no matter what. His whole mentality was, anyone involved in crypto is a degenerate and they need to be exposed. He just had his sights set on us.
Farkas set up the whole article, and I'm like, "Did you not ask, like, what they're writing about? You know, like, you just agreed to do this article and take pictures, and fucking, you didn't ask what this article is about at all."
Why didn't you ask what it's about?
He had already spoken to the New York Times. He was the person that we'd put in charge of doing tasks like that.
Ray blames me for not vetting him. I don't think Ray remembers where he was in 2017. He was high as a kite.
He's dumb, naive, all of the above. He just was just a yes man, right? He had no experience in any sort of thing that required to use your brain.
Fuck him. I think just speaking to Ray pissed him off even more because he realized that he's not a good guy.
Robert Cohen, SEC investigator.
The New York Times article was really important when things get that kind of public attention and there's, you know, that big of a question about whether something is real. And when people are raising a lot of money, that makes the SEC interested. There was an aspect of Centra that was really brazen. They were saying things that did not take a lot of work to prove were not true, like relationships with credit card companies and banks, using photos of fake people with fake biographies and thinking that that was going to work long term. It's just hard to understand how, you know, anyone would think that would work. And maybe they were joking, but to make up a story that the CEO died in an accident, that would work, it's just hard to imagine.
We are fully on board with any regulatory bodies to make sure that everything is done correctly. Centra's here to last for a very long time. We're doing everything we can by the book.
Centra was completely illegitimate nonsense at first. But once we started generating millions of dollars, we saw that there was actually a chance to go fully legit. You know, we needed a good lawyer to help us get there.
The main thing we had Eric Pope work on was making sure that Centra coins weren't securities, because we didn't want to be in hot water with the SEC.
A 6-inch thick document lands on a desk.
Our secretary got the mail, and there was a 500-page subpoena from the SEC.
We're a company that wants to comply with the laws and regulations here in the United States.
That's when we hired in-house counsel Alan Schutt.
General counsel and chief compliance officer here at Centra Tech.
Alan Schutt started asking questions about who our legal counsel was, and we told him, hey, listen, it's this guy Eric Pope from Water Street in Manhattan,
who has like 20 years of business experience as a lawyer.
This website's beautiful, he's quick on the phone, he's perfect. And he said, okay, I can't find his bar license. What do you mean? And he said, this guy's a fraudster. What are you talking about? It's a scam. Eric Pope ended up being a college kid from Virginia.
Hey, are you going to the party later?
No. Named John Lambert.
Two young men are interviewed.
I see Donald Trump as reviving the Republican Party.
And he was one of the founders of Students for Trump.
He was in college, you know, we paid him. And so we got finessed by this young college kid into believing we were abiding by the SEC's rules.
Just take it off your website and abide by the cease and desist, no problem. You're a utility token. Most companies start with a vision and they build it into a reality.
All the emails he sent us with the SEC were fake. Everything was a lie.
He was like this young kid. Fucking maniac, and my partner thought it was a legit lawyer the whole time he was talking to him, and he basically, like, scammed a company that was already scamming us, which was...
double scam.
He was scamming the scammer, huh?
Yeah, crazy.
Robert Cohen types at a laptop.
The SEC will build the foundation of the case, and then the FBI and Department of Justice sort of takes that foundation, and then they go forward on the criminal side.
I read Nathaniel Popper's New York Times article where there's a photo of the three co-founders of Centra Tech. And they're in these snazzy suits, and they look very happy. It's like giving a middle finger to the FBI and saying, come get me. There was rampant fraud going on in this market. Way, way too many cases. We were just looking for what are the most egregious examples of conduct where we need to send a message to the market. When you're sitting there as a prosecutor, your first thought is, maybe there's an explanation for some of this. Maybe they did have a license. Maybe Mike Edwards is a real person.
Basically, he got compensation to promote this initial coin offering and didn't disclose it.
The SEC filed complaints against DJ Khaled and Floyd Mayweather. They had to give back the money they'd been paid for these promotions. They also paid penalties. After that, Centra started taking actions to try and hide things right away. Money started going out of accounts, and that really accelerated everything coming apart.
Were you nervous, man?
Nah, nothing really fazed me. Oh, so many Xanax so makes you not really feel anything.
Jacob checks his phone in bed.
One day, I got messaged.
Hey, do you know if Centra Tech, we're gonna file a lawsuit? I ended up contacting them and saying, hey, listen, I collected all this data and I presented all of the information. And they said, hey, you're the right guy. Would you represent this class action lawsuit? I did accept the role of becoming the lead plaintiff. The SEC would eventually use our information from our lawsuit to take down Centra Tech.
The SEC worked together with the Department of Justice to put together a case so that the FBI could go arrest these guys. This was the first big, high-profile fraud case that the SEC brought in the cryptocurrency world.
When the SEC investigation was going on, me and Sorby were fighting over debt that we had made from Miami Exotics. I go to Sorby and I'm like, yo, we have to take, you know, $500,000, pay off all this debt that I had sitting there. I just wanted to pay that all off because it was all in my family's name. Let's take, you know, $500,000 in Ethereum, I'll cash it out, pay all my family's debt that we had built together. Only fair. I wanted it to come from Centra. He says, yo, go fuck yourself. I almost got in a fist fight with them, like, in the office. If Sorby had paid that debt, I swear I would have never fucked him. I stepped down from the company. I was like, fuck you. I just started cashing out millions of dollars in Centra coin myself.
I mean, it was bad. You know, everything was crazy.
Bill Papp knew nothing about everything that was going on, how bad it was.
He was very sick. He was having chemotherapy. He had brain surgery. My father died in the middle of it.
Old home video footage shows young Ray riding a cable car.
He totally loved Ray, you know, and he loved my father.
Say hello to Pop. Look at me. Hello. Say hello, Papa Roe.
Ray looks ahead as the car travels between the treetops.
Ray was devastated.
I'm going off on a bender.
He was in, like, the height of addiction. Yeah, I mean, I was fearful. Taking Xanax like they were M&Ms.
A hand clutches at scattered pills.
At that point, I was like, fuck this company. I'm gambling every day, doing drugs every day, and, you know, why work? I don't have any more responsibility, and I have all this money.
He sits, watching the sunset.
I'm playing a high-stakes poker game, and Sorby calls me.
Three figures walk through the office, carrying handcuffs.
And he tells me he got arrested for security fraud.
Sorby's handcuffed, and the staff watch as he's led away through the office.
You know, I'm like, I'm fucked, of course, but, you know, I try to think positive. I'm pretty good at compartmentalizing and thinking positive in any given moment. Before I left the casino that day, I just took as many drugs as possible to kind of make sure if I'm getting arrested, I'm going to be high when I get arrested.
It's getting dark as FBI agents get out of two vehicles and approach a large house, passing Ray's white Aston Martin, parked in front of it.
His attorney called me, and she said, you know, I have bad news. He's facing like 240 years in federal prison. Man, this is some scary stuff, you know? I was terrified for him. I didn't want to lose my son.
Centra are accused of masterminding a fraudulent initial coin offering that Centra offered a debit card it said was backed by Visa and MasterCard, but the SEC says that Centra had no relationship with either company.
It felt good to know that justice was going to get served in some capacity.
Did you feel like you played a part in that?
Absolutely. SEC, Homeland Security, they were using our case.
I was charged with security fraud, conspiracy to commit security fraud, wire fraud, and conspiracy to commit wire fraud. And at that point, I start, like, reaching out to my lawyers, and I'm like, what's going on here? They were like, well, what you can do is you can cooperate if you want. I tell my lawyer, I'm like, I would 100% cooperate. No problem, whatever it takes. And I met with them to, like, try to cooperate. And they were like, you can't even speak. You're on so many drugs. Like, how are you going to cooperate? And they sent me to rehab.
Words appear. 4 years later, Ray stands in a bathroom, bare-chested. He rubs cream under his eye and combs his hair back.
I've been to rehab 13 times. But this time, you know, I was just like, you know what, fuck it, like, I'm done.
A caption reads, Sentencing Day, April 4th, 2022.
Today is my sentencing for 11 felonies, facing over 100 years.
The biggest thing is just to have the judge believe that you're not going to do more crime. The whole point of putting someone in jail is to make it so that they don't commit any more crimes and hurt the community or whatever the fuck they say.
So how is the baby?
My wife is actually in the hospital.
No way.
Yeah, her water broke this morning.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I took her to the hospital.
Do you want to go to a hospital?
I'm going to go after her.
Is she going to make it?
Yeah, I mean, her water broke. She thinks she's going to be there all day, but she doesn't want me. No one wants me to delay this court date. She doesn't want me to.
He speaks with his lawyer. Later, he dresses in a dark suit.
Do I look like a criminal?
I met my wife while I had an ankle bracelet on.
Photos show the couple.
I felt like she was the one, and I ran with it. Like within a month, she was pregnant. It wasn't a planned thing. Obviously, like, you know, you're finishing in her, so it's like, you know, you kind of know that there's a possibility. I got sober. I cooperated with law enforcement. I cooperated with the FBI, the SEC. I've gave them everything I know. If you work with the FBI, they work with you, and you kind of, you know, it just requires complete honesty. I gave the FBI enough information to be able to put Sorby away for 8 years and Farkas away.
A picture of Sorby appears. A caption reads, Sam Sorby Sharma was sentenced to 8 years in prison. A picture of Farkas is accompanied by the caption, Robert Farkas was sentenced to 1 year.
So this is the room where Sam got sentenced?
Farkas.
On Zoom? Sam was sitting right there. His mother, his father, my whole family. 8 years is... it's fucked up.
Paul Petruzzi, Farkas's lawyer.
I think it was really drastic. I don't agree with the sentencing across the board in this case. Farkas just didn't strike me as the type. He was just sort of a deer in the headlights. I think his biggest mistake was getting involved and relying on what he was being told. But Ray Trapani's a real criminal.
A helicopter flies over a municipal building as Ray looks out of a car window.
The fact that I cooperated means a lot. So, you know, I'm in hopes that I get less time.
He looks up at the United States courthouse.
You know, I am sorry for what I did. It's always been very hard to find empathy in these feelings towards people that I've never really met. I've always been like that. I think that's something that, like, I need to build on myself and, like, really get there, where it's like I can feel for, you know, Joe Schmo that's in China.
He gestures vaguely. A court document appears.
Mr. Trapani, I'm very much influenced by the government's report of your cooperation. I'm not sure I've ever heard the word extraordinary used in connection with cooperation, and now I've heard it multiple times. At every stage of the case, from the investigation to sentencing of your co-defendants. So, Mr. Trapani, it is the judgment of the court that you are sentenced to a term of imprisonment, of time served. I really didn't want to interrupt the path that you are on, because you seem to be doing so well.
Words appear. Time served, no jail time.
Babe, we did it. No jail time.
I'm so happy.
I love you. I'm coming now. I'm coming straight to you then. Yeah, hold out. An hour and a half, I'll be there.
His mother and grandmother are with him.
It's shocking to me. With his record, and as much of a scumbag as he admits he is, that he winds up with literally the lowest sentence in this case. Why? Well, you know, because he cooperated with the government. All of a sudden, it puts an aura on somebody that somehow justifies treating them differently.
No time, bitch.
Well, she loved you.
Comparing it to Sorby's is like night and day.
He's facing 175 years.
With cooperators, when you completely absolve them of everything and you reduce a sentence from 20 years to zero, are you sending any message at all? You shouldn't commit crimes, or just the next time that you carjack somebody, rat out the person that you did it with, and you can go home. He's a criminal through and through. I can almost guarantee that of the three people that were prosecuted in this case, the one most likely to wind up in federal court again is Ray Trapani. And it's not civil court either, it'll be criminal.
As they drive over a bridge, Ray receives a video call.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh.
Hey, babe. Oh. How's he doing, babe?
Where are you?
I'm about 20 minutes to 30 minutes out. I'll be there soon.
Okay.
Bye.
He beams at the others in the car, then looks back down at his phone. His wife called, holding their newborn baby.
Jeez. What a day, right? Little fucking Liam.
He grins and shifts his weight, then stares ahead.
He wasn't even crying.
They arrive outside the North Shore University Hospital, where Ray is embraced by his friend Johnny. Ray holds and feeds the newborn baby.
He's a degenerate. The audacity of the government to praise him as a good guy?
Farkas shakes his head. Dr. Andrew Haleko.
Ray Trapani just received his sentencing last month, and he got no time. Time served.
Wow. Wow, that's incredible. Yeah.
That upsets me. That upsets me.
Jacob gets out of his chair and walks away from the interview. Later, he returns.
Oh, man.
Do you think he's really changed?
I hope so, but that doesn't absolve him from what he's done in his past. You know, and likely there might be more funds out there that he still has from other people, you know.
What happened with your money?
Ray smiles and shakes his head.
We got to stop that one. You know, Sorby supposedly, you know, before he got arrested, they were saying that he has a whole new fleet of cars. I told the FBI that there's more money out there. You know, it's up to them to find it.
Captions appear. The judge ordered Ray to pay $2.9 million to victims. 2 months after his sentencing, Ray bought a new house.
You're buying a house?
Yeah.
How are you buying a house?
Money. Yeah. That's usually how it goes.
Yeah. How do you have money to pay for the house? How's he buying a house?
Ray? Ask him. I don't know.
How did Ray buy a house?
Ray bought a his father-in-law co-signed with his wife. Yeah.
I don't know any single person sub 40 buying a house. They're all just like, they like get like a good job, quote unquote, and they're just working, fucking, and living in an apartment for their whole life.
You never know, like, you know, all of a sudden there's a house.
Why are you telling me that now? Why? Because you...
I'm just curious, like... No locked millions of dollars of crypto hidden anywhere.
I wish there was, because I would cash it all out and I would move somewhere away from this crazy country. Really?
Like our parents, they were able to buy a house for like 20 grand, keep it forever, and now they're millionaires. It's fucking ridiculous.
I said it from the very beginning. I mean, if you make them look like a scumbag, I'm really going to be pissed. Because I swear to God, you'll be in big trouble. I'm not kidding.
How do people trust that Ray doesn't have money or Sorby doesn't have money?
Well, Sorby definitely has money. You're going to tell me that when all this money was made that he didn't hide it somewhere and that he knows when he gets out in 8 years that he's going to be perfectly fine? Why do you think his girlfriend's staying with him? You think that there's nothing there? She's just, it loves him so much? I'm not saying she doesn't love him. I mean, I don't know if she loves him or not. I'm just saying that there's no way that Sorby does not have money put somewhere.
You say the only way to buy a house is to do something shady or to get help from someone. So
yeah.
You're buying a house. Which one did you do?
I did something shady, clearly. It's my fucking whole story is shady shit. You know?
Captions appear. In May 2018, the U.S. government seized 100,000 Ethereum from CentralTech. As of August 2023, no investors have been paid back any money.
Once they got the 100,000 Ethereum, they kept it. Was it really about the victims? Or was it about their headlines, their promotions, their pockets?
Farkas gets a tattoo of the Central logo on his forearm. A caption reads, Robert Farkas served his time and was released from prison. Sam Sorby Sharma is still serving the remainder of his 8-year sentence. Martin and Philip smile.
He didn't get that one last time. 10 months of intensive work.
Yeah, no money on Central.
The basic idea behind cryptocurrencies was really that you shouldn't have to trust these banks anymore. You shouldn't have to trust Wall Street. You don't need to trust any of these institutions. The sort of grand irony is it created a new financial system that has basically taught everybody that they can trust nobody.
Captions read, an estimated $4.9 billion was invested in crypto startups in 2017. Studies now show that up to 78% were scams. Ray says he is starting a new business offering loans to people in need at 50% interest. He is calling it Cambridge and Brown after the two prestigious universities.
My entrepreneurial spirit won't get dimmed down by my 12 felons.
He admires his reflection in the mirror, which has the phrase, "Damn, you look good," etched into it. He turns and leaves. Later, he drives his Aston Martin. And everybody knows. BitCon. Sam Sorby Sharma provided the following statement via his attorney. Mr. Sharma denies the various claims made by several individuals in this documentary. In the near future, Mr. Sharma looks forward to telling the true story of CentraTech and its background. Audio description created by Iuno, written by Steve Blacker Barrowman. Narrated by Eric Myers. Directed by Brian Storkel. Produced by Amy Bandley and Storkel. Executive producers, Nancy Glass, Eric Newhouse. Executive produced by Chris Smith. Cinematography by Britton Foster, Nate Larson. Edited by Weston Curry. Music by Michael James Lee. Consulting producer, Nathaniel Popper. Sound design, re-recording mixer, Lawrence Everson. Other credits roll on screen.
Red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.